Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Vine Ministries here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. You're tuned into The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, the 7th day of March, 2018. Trust everybody is doing well. The time has come, and the trumpet is blowing throughout the earth. The words of the living God have resounded around the world, declaring a matter yet to be seen. Have you heard the trumpet? The time comes that the ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher shall be no more. A mature man is rising in the earth, a perfect man conformed into the image of the firstborn son. Suddenly, the earth shall shine forth with the glory of many sons. Suddenly, the earth shall be filled with a kingdom of kings and priests. There will be no further need of a fivefold ministry, seeing that one new man will walk through the earth in the exact image and likeness of the one who was the express image and the brightness of glory. Suddenly, the earth shall resound with the voice of many sons. God, who at sundry times and in divers ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now the voice of many sons, speaking the heart of the firstborn son, shall cause the earth to shake and the powers of darkness to fall. Suddenly, glory shall manifest around the world, and there will be no need of the S-U-N to shine, for the glory of the Lord shall be the light of it. Well, praise the Lord. I believe it. I believe a day is coming when that suddenly is going to take place. However, I'm a realist as well, and I believe that I have somewhat of a grasp on the Word of God that there are certain things that must happen prior to that glorious event. And I am talking about the outray and display of the glory of Jesus Christ being put out there and the nations of the earth walking in a spiritual illumination of righteousness, light, and truth. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt that the world is growing darker and darker and darker, and it's happening at astounding and an astonishing speed. And we must talk about it. We don't have much time. And so buckle up today. Get your notepad out. Get some paper, pen, and take some notes. Get the Word of God out. We're going to walk through some familiar verses, but we'll bring a little bit deeper definition to what we're sharing here today. But I do want to begin one more message. Yesterday, the word of the Lord came through very clearly. And if you go back, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was how that the word of God will endure forever. Everything else will be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Yeah, I hope you remember that. Well, we brought some definition to it, but this morning, moments ago, I came across this small prophetic word, and I want to share it with you. And so we're starting out really good here today, okay? We've got a future hope that the glory of God that is in each one of us will eventually manifest forth wherever we are on the earth. It's going to be a spiritual illumination, kind of like the Age of Enlightenment, but even better because Christ will be in the center of it. But when it comes to the only thing enduring, the times, being the word of God, and everything else passing away, that ought to give you great hope in your life. But I did find this prophetic word, and it's titled Triumphant Christ. I want to share it with you. Everything that does not conform to the order of Christ will be destroyed in the coming destruction. Christ will not be set aside as an afterthought or as a leader of a weak religion. The military might of men will pale at his presence as he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Every believer must awake to the reality that anything, whether it be sickness, disease, debt, sin, bondage, curses, or any other thing that does not yield to his will and purpose, is but an illusion in the powers of darkness, whose strength is in their deception. The militant, triumphant church must arise to her destiny in this hour and become the glorious bride without spot and wrinkle she has been called to be. It is the as he is, so are we in this world hour. The people of God must realize there will be a harvest of righteousness in the earth. There is a hundredfold harvest of the divine nature that is coming forth within a people who have allowed the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to perform and accomplish his work in their lives. Through the purging fires of tribulation and trial, a manifested form shall be revealed to the Adamic race. The walking dead of Adam's race will realize that there is another species walking in the earth all his days, that one would come mightier than himself. That mightier one is the new creation species, birthed from the womb of Christ. It is not aliens and outer space beings Adam is terrified of and wondering about, but a species of man walking right in the midst of him that has not been seen for nearly 2,000 years. The first of this kind of man was Jesus the Christ. He is the firstborn and the beginning of the new creation of God. It is this new man, this born-again man, that is about to take over the earth, and Adam knows that this takeover is near. The fear of Adam has led him to believe that his enemy was his neighbor, and due to the change of color or culture, wars have been determined. Yet the invisible enemy of Adam is the second man from heaven who came to bring Adam to the grave. Yes, Jesus Christ came to destroy the first man, Adam. Yet in the genius of God, the destruction of Adam is his perfect salvation. Many have had a wrong perception of Christ. Many have thought him to be a soft and comfortable Christ, as though he would conform to their image or our own. Yet the truth cries out that everything that does not conform to his image and likeness, Christ will not play second fiddle to anything or anyone. And every second that destruction does not hit this planet is only the continued mercy of God being extended to a lost and dying world. Hear these words, for they are the words of God. Every moment that passes without destruction upon the United States is but another moment of God's divine mercy. Now this mercy shall come to an end in God's perfect time. Prophetically, we can say the day of salvation is drawing to a close. The door is about to shut. We just do not know when. But the Spirit has spoken and has warned and has clearly defined the coming storm and judgment upon the unrepentant nations. Adam is about to meet his Maker in a way he would have never imagined. It is love of the believer that must take advantage of every moment. While there is time to reach out to Adam's race and bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord of the new creation race. Rather than believers slamming believers because of what church they go to or what denomination they are or what their particular theology or end-time eschatology may be, instead should be going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is only one church, one faith, one spirit, one baptism, one Father. The one true church made up of true believers around the world will be readily manifested in the days ahead. Do not worry about identifying the counterfeit, for that is a distraction to your purpose. Jesus said in his parable of the wheat and the tares to let them grow together until the harvest. Stop trying to figure out which blade is wheat from chaff in its immature state. Time will tell and reveal the truth. You must go forth and preach the gospel now because the time is short. Do not be lulled to sleep with the prevailing atmosphere that everything is going to be all right. Everything will not be all right. You hear the unredeemed saying all the time, no worries, no fear. These statements are spoken to build a wall of protection. However, Adam is not safe. The only safe place to be at this time is under blood. And I find that very interesting as we come into the season of Passover, that the only safe place is to be under the blood. I happen to absolutely 1,000% agree that that is the truth. So let's get into a little bit of Bible study here this morning, because I want to ask you some very serious questions, and I want to open the door by saying these things. Jesus said that the world would be brought into a snare to be able to escape. Have you considered what that snare might be? We live in a day wherein artificial intelligence is rapidly moving forward and global technocrats are seeking domination over the whole earth. Does it appear to you that things are moving so fast that it is difficult to keep up, let alone control? Can you feel the construct of a global one-world government all around you? Do you see the possibility of living in a world where it is impossible to buy or sell without the mark of the beast? These are very pointed, very clear, and very acceptable questions to men and women of faith, Christ in God, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, in heaven, people that believe in God. You know, not everybody in the world believes in God. Not everybody in the world believes that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. As a matter of fact, there is such a contrariness in this world against God, against Christ, that man actually believes that he is God, that he can heal, that he can take care of the issues of man's problems. And you have to realize, I know you and I do, that there are things about man that are beyond the touch or the reach of the world to heal, to restore, to take care of. There's no artificial intelligence anywhere in the universe that could touch the spirit of a man or a woman. The soul can be manipulated through control, through conditioning, through brainwashing, through drugs. But the spirit, the volition of a man or a woman, there is no artificial intelligence for that. And that is where the salvation needs to be in the first place of any human being. So what I want to do is walk through a few verses in Luke chapter 21. And these are familiar, but we're going to go a little bit deeper, get some definition out here, and talk about what it is that is taking place all around us. And I want to look at how Jesus mentioned it in the first place. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. We begin there. Jesus said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. We talked several times about the definitions of distress upon nations, the perplexity, the waves roaring, okay? But that is the summation of the word of Jesus Christ about what things are going to look like in the last days upon planet Earth, not just in Israel and not just the United States in our case, but around the world. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations, plural, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And those sea and the waves oftentimes in Bible prophecy represent political and social agitations, like in Daniel chapter 7 when he saw the political and social agitation stirring up the sea of humanity. But the sea and the waves roaring, the human race, you know, there's this loud roar. Verse 26 of Luke 21, because of that condition, Jesus said, men's hearts failing them, hearts failing them. And I look at that word, failing them, it means to break out, to faint. It's literally a pop psycho. Now listen, apo is the first Greek word, psycho. Apo. Psycho, out of breath, out of your mind. Think about people who go out of their mind. The very Greek word, apo psycho, out is apo, psycho is breath, mind, soul. So men that are out of their minds. And why are they out of their mind? We've often talked about having a physical heart attack, but there is something more ominous than just men having so much fear that they have a heart attack. It's that they'll go out of their mind. And when a man is out of his mind, it could be a 19-year-old Nick Cruz that walks into a Florida school. It could be somebody tearing down two of the tallest buildings in the world, in the World Trade Center. It could be one of who knows what men could do when they're out of their mind. The correct and proper definition of Luke chapter 21, verse 26, is because of the events going on the earth, there are going to be many people for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, people are going to keep their heads buried for as long as they can, maybe until they're completely destroyed. But at some point, when people start looking around, they're going to see what's really happening. They're not going to be able to hide for it. And God said, Jesus said, they're going to lose their minds. They're going to be out of their minds. And they're going to it's going to happen because of the phobos, because of the fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, let's talk a little bit about what's coming on the earth. Maybe let's talk about some things that are already here right now that weren't here 100 years ago. Or let's talk about things that are here right now that were not here 50 years ago. Or why don't we talk about things that are happening right now that were not here 20 years ago? Or what about talking about things that are on the earth right now here 5 years ago? 3 years ago, because there are things that have come on this earth that are fearful, disturbing, that were not here ever before. We have around us a construct, call them whatever we want to. We could tag them the deep state. We could tag them the global cabal. We could tag them the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome. We can call them the technocrats. We could call them the globalists. We could call them the United Nations. We could call them anything we desire to, and yet there is some fact that regardless of what we call them or how we understand them, that there is some group, there is something that is creating. There is a creation going on, and I know and you know that behind the scenes of all evil is a wicked spirit called Satan. We know that there is a Lucifer. We know that there is a dragon. We know that there is a devil, many of them. And they are the ones inspiring this transformation or giving this kind of intelligence to individuals to do the things that they're doing. You know, you don't just come up with these things that are happening without some kind of intelligence. And so the question is, where are you getting the intelligence from? What is the source of the intelligence of man? It's either from God or it's from the devil, period. And everything that follows that is just a course of action. But ultimately, behind the scenes of everything is God's intelligence. We see intelligent design in the universe. We see intelligent design in man. We see intelligent design in our planet. We see intelligent design everywhere. The sun, moon, stars. Intelligent design. Incredible intelligent design. And yet we also see an intelligent design of disaster and ugliness and darkness and evil and wickedness and horror. Okay, so these are both coming from a source. You and I happen to be living in the year 2018, and we are nearly 6,000 years down the road from creation, coming into a new millennium, if you will, according to God's calendar. We are 2,000 years down the road. The Messiah of the world, there's never been one before him. There'll never be one after him. He's the one that they were looking forward to. He's the one we're looking back at. He's going to be the one at the end, for he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So there's one ultimate triumphant Christ, period. We get that. Thank God. But there is also a terrific amount of menace and evil that has been here since creation as well. And we have seen what our world has become because of what sin does and what evil is. And so we're watching these things. And then Jesus, giving his end time scenario, is warning people that you're coming to a time that men are going to lose their minds. They're going to be out of their minds. Have you ever heard someone say that? Are you out of your mind when people come up with weird things, right? Well, that's what Jesus said. He coined the phrase, out of your mind. Now, we're told here that men's hearts are going to fail them. They're going to be out of their mind. Why? For the fear and for looking after the things which are coming on the earth. So what's coming on the earth? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to know something, that right now this radio broadcast, along with thousands of others around the world, are probably being recorded. There are algorithms. This is true. I'm simple in these things. I'm certainly not an expert, thank God. But the truth of the matter is we're learning that if I say certain things, they could shut this station down. If I write certain things on our Facebook page for Omega Radio that they don't like, they could shut that down. The phone in your hand, the bank that you go to, everything that does exist in our world is being monitored and controlled. There are cameras from space that are watching everything. There are cameras on the street corners. There is a very intensive, intrusive movement into the public arena where through smart TVs, people are being watched rather than them just watching television. There are mechanisms and there are things that are growing almost organically, but yet instrumentally, mechanically, machinery, everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. We are being watched. Our transactions are being watched. We are being heard. We are being witnessed. We are being seen. We are being monitored at the creation from one nation to the next. There is a monitoring process going on. To that, there's no disagreement. You know, that's not any more, you know, some big facade or some scientific, you know, far out reality. No. And I think what's happening is that people are doing things out of their mind, actions, because they are afraid of what they see coming. And I happen to feel that mankind is going to act up even more in the days ahead as they see even more of control coming. Because you have to ask, well, who are these people that are monitoring the nations? Who is it that's watching what we're doing? Well, this kind of control is very, again, deep. And then we go on to verse 26, because I haven't made my point yet. I want to get to a certain point. that those things which are coming on the earth for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, so there's a shaking coming, powers of heaven, and that could be a well-rounded concept and ideas. Verse 27 gives us some hope. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's the day you and I are looking forward to. That's the time that all true believers are longing for. And verse 28, Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, in other words, when everything he's talked about up until this moment, the everything we've just been talking about, these things begin to come to pass, what did he say to you? He said, look up. He said, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. In other words, it's not the moment, it's all over. Just keep your head together. Rather than losing your mind, rather than going out of your mind, look up. Keep your focus. Take your stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. But contrarily, be courageous and very bold. But we have to go a little deeper. We have to go a little deeper. Our redemption is drawing nigh because right now we are looking up. I don't know where you're looking. I don't know where your head is right now. But I want to encourage you to look up. We've been talking about very positive things that the Lord is going to do in a generation. So we need to be looking up for his answer at this time for his people on this earth. In verse 29, that Jesus spoke a parable to them. He said, behold the fig tree. Now, this is known in Bible prophecy as the fig tree prophecy. Some people go for it. Some people don't go for it. I think it's extremely clear and something very tangible that we could look at and say, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And what they're saying is that the fig tree prophecy is something about Israel. It's about Israel, okay? Because Israel throughout Bible prophecy is known as the fig tree. And so verse 29, he spoke to them a parable, and he said, behold, the fig tree, or let's say Israel, and all the trees. So he's talking about a nation and then all the nations, trees representing nations. Verse 30, when they now shoot forth, in other words, here comes a blooming process, leaves are coming on them. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Now, let's talk about this. He says, when they now shoot forth. And so what is he talking about? The nation of Israel and then the nations, all the trees. Well, what came out of 1945? The United Nations and Israel becoming a nation in 1948. Now, listen. When they now shoot forth, the United Nations and Israel, you know, but he's using the parable about the actual trees. You know that when there's a shooting forth, that summer is now nigh at hand. He said in verse 31, so likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, all this construct around us, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verse 32, this is good. The kingdom of God, look up, your redemption is nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation of the trees, okay, the generation that witnesses Israel shoot forth and the nations shoot forth. When, he said, verily I say unto you, this generation, the fig tree generation, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus in the fig tree prophecy is equating the signs of the times, all the things going on in the world, with the rise of a nation called Israel and then the breaking forth of nations, okay? But Israel is the key here. The fig tree is the key. So when you see Israel spring forth, you know that summer is nigh. You know that something's happening. And so within our generation, there are many people listening to this broadcast right now because Israel was established as an independent nation in 1967 after the Six-Day War. The documents were ratified in 1948. We understand that. And there are people that are alive today that were alive then. So we're still within the context of the generation of Israel becoming a nation. But for the most part, 1967, when they were established through victory, well, now we have a much larger audience to this generation. And all these things are happening within the context of Israel being that nation. And we know that fearful things are coming. Here's what Jesus said. generation is not going to pass away. The generation that witnesses the fig tree blossom till all be fulfilled. Verse 33. I want to get to the point. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So again, going back to what we said yesterday, every word that came out of the mouth of God to establish what is right for him is going to remain. And that's you and me. He spoke us into existence, and we're born again because of his word. Hallelujah. So we're going to remain, right? But heaven and earth are going to pass away. Now, verse 34. This is where I want to get down to the nitty-gritty. Now, I believe, are the generation that Jesus was talking about. I believe he had the foresight and the ability to look into the future, and I believe that we're here now. And he's now speaking to us, and he's telling us the generation that's going to see these things fulfilled. Verse 34, take heed to yourselves. All right, so watch yourself. Take care. Now's the time to pay attention to you. Take heed to yourselves. And that phrase there, to take heed, simply means to hold the mind. Remember, a lot of people are going to be out of their minds. But here, you're going to hold your mind towards Christ. You're going to pay attention. This is all the Greek. You're going to be cautious about yourself, how you're acting up. Are you witnessing yourself doing crazy things? You know, is it getting a little strange? Well, you better pay attention to you. And that's what Jesus was saying. Take heed to yourself. Stop looking at everybody else. Take heed to yourself. How are you responding to trials? What's going on in your heart? What are you thinking about? Be careful. There are demons that are seeking to take over the mind of man. Don't forget that. So take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, here we go now, be overcharged with surfeiting. All right, so the word overcharged, I like this, it almost sounds Italian, it's baruno, baruno. And the word baruno means to burden, all right, to overcharge or to burden. Be careful lest your heart, your soul, your psyche, your mind come burdened, okay, burdened with what? With surfeiting. Now, the word surfeiting is kripale, or kripale, and kripale is kind of close to cripple, if you ask me, to be crippled, but he's saying here to, it becomes overcharged or burdened with, and this is interesting, a headache as a seizure of pain from drunkenness or debauch or gluttony. Okay? In other words, we're getting down into the desire. We're talking about being drunken, not necessarily only with alcoholism. It's an interesting word. Okay? So don't be burdened with all the stuff that's going on around and about. But then he goes on and says something even more clear, and it's the word drunkenness. So again, verse 34, take heed to yourselves, pay attention, lest any time your hearts become overcharged or burdened with gluttony, with the cares of this life. You'll see that in just a moment. And just all the intoxication of what's going on in the world, the overwhelming influence that the world is going to have is what's really being said. And this word drunkenness is very clever. It's meth. And anytime I see meth in any word, I think, aha, I know what that is, and so do you. And meth is intoxication. It's drunkenness. It's an intoxicant. And, you know, there's a lot of people on crystal methamphetamine right now. Why do you think people are getting strung out on meth and cocaine and ecstasy and, you know, all these things that are going on? In the last days, we know that drugs are going to be like a spirit of sorcery in the planet. But he's saying, don't you get overwhelmed. Don't resort to alcohol. Don't resort to drugs to deal with your problems, okay? So let's put it in context, verse 34 again. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Cares. The merimna. And that means the anxiety, all right? It's through the idea of distraction. In other words, Jesus is telling us in this generation, because we fit the bill perfectly, don't get burdened by all the distractions. Don't let your heart come under the power or the heaviness or the weightiness or the influence of what's going on in the world. Don't get caught up into it. Don't partake of it. Don't allow your heart to partake of what's happening, the cares of this life. And so that day, here's what would happen. Oh, here's what would happen in verse 34 if we did the opposite, if we did not take heed and we did allow the things of the world to come and make our hearts heavy and depressed, and we did resort to drugs, alcohol, gluttony, ambition, whatever, and the cares of this life. If we did, it said, so that day come upon you unawares. Uh-oh, what day? The world is set right now for an event to happen that's going to take them off guard. They're not seeing it. Because most of the world and many in the church are overwhelmed with the world in which we live. And it's going to get more pressure. It's going to get more weighty. It's going to get more intense. More people are going to start going outside their mind. Okay, there's something devilish that's happening. There's something being set up. It's called the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And the thing is, you have to ask yourself, how have you been responding? How have I been responding to the present pressure? And it's only the four winds. Now, this is the point I wanted to get to, verse 35. This is what I heard this morning. This is what I'm concerned about. And you should be too. Verse 35, Jesus said, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Whatever is coming, the snare, the trap, it's coming on the whole world. And it's going to come where the people are unaware. Now, my question to our listening audience today was, well, what do you think that snare may be? You know, the first thing that came to my mind when it talks about a global snare was the www dot, the World Wide Web, right there in your face, right there. Come a snare to many souls, social media, Facebook, Instagram, all the different technological things on the internet, the computer. Jesus was telling a generation that there was a snare that had the potential to take the whole earth at the same time. What is the snare? What is the distraction? What is it that's taking the attention of God's people away from Christ and causing concern, anxiety, and fear to get them to go outside their mind and start acting up because they're seeing things that they can't handle anymore? I'm asking the question, what you think the global snare is that Jesus was talking about. So far, what I've come up with is the intrusiveness of the www dot. I can't think of another snare at the moment. I'm sure there's an answer out there. But I know that people's soul, their heart, their mind, their energy, their bodies literally are being taken into cell phones, computers, and everything connected to them. And there is a construct, a global construct, that is imprisoning man upon this earth. And eventually, what has been participatory, voluntarily, will become a mandatory and no way out. You can't buy or sell without it. Talk about this. Jesus said in verse 36, Watch, therefore, this generation, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, if Jesus is telling us that we need to pray always that we're counted worthy to escape so that we can stand before him, obviously, there's the opportunity of not escaping and not being able to stand before him. The there's a system that's growing all around us. Wires, interconnectedness, electronics. It's happening so fast. If you talk about acceleration in the last days, we are witnessing an acceleration that we can't keep up with, let alone control, but it has the power to overwhelm us and control the planet. And who's behind it all? What is this? Bigger than government? Bigger than nuclear bombs going off? Bigger than World War III? And yet this thing actually can cause the nuclear bombs to go off, could actually cause World War III, could actually cause starvation, could actually cause as many plagues. What is this impetus? What is this force behind all of these terrible things that the Bible says will come to pass? Yes, there will be World War III. Yes, there will be global nuclear war. Yes, there will be the electromagnetic pulse and millions of people dead. Yes, there will be a population control agenda that will eliminate a massive part of the population. It's written in the book of Revelation. I mean, 2 billion people dying at one time, 1.5 billion people dying at another time. It's there. The Bible foresaw it. The Bible told about it. But there's someone behind it. There's someone architecting it. And what is it that has the power to pull the trigger on wars, famines, weather control? And the question is, what are you on this earth for right now? Do you believe that you and I were brought to this earth to become caught in the snare? What did the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John mean when he said in Revelation chapter 18, "Come out of her, my people"? Heard right now, all over the world. I know I'm being listened to by some monitoring device. I don't think there's a I'm Susie sitting behind a computer listening to my sermon. No, but there is a reading of what I'm being said. And a lot of ministers in the last days are going to stop preaching the word of God. I'm telling you right now that the reason why the false prophets and false teachers and false apostles are going to rise in this last generation is because they're going to be afraid of speaking the truth in love because of the monetization that is taking place. And men and women of God are going to have to make a decision to be Jesus people or not, to speak the truth or not, regardless of who's listening. When John the Baptist preached his message, he did it while the Roman soldiers were standing by listening. When Jesus preached, he did it when the Pharisees were listening. There's a time to go into the secret place. There's a time to enter into the ark. And that is the time, I believe, when God is going to allow destruction because God is in control. Kingdom is going to burst this globalization, this Babylonian system in due season. Don't get me wrong. I am fully aware of the power of my Father in heaven, and you are with yours, that he has the ultimate authority over everything that Babylon is building. And I have to refer to Babylon because in Revelation 18, that's what's being spoken of. And when you talk about Babylon, you got to go back to Genesis after the global world flood, and how Nimrod began to build a tower utilizing the people to control the world. There's a spirit there in Nimrod. There's a spirit there in the man of sin. There's a spirit there in the little horn, the big mouth, the Antichrist, the Lucifer. There is a spirit that's coming from eons past into ancient times into our now. There's an unveiling of a revelation of a demonic spirit coming out of a secret hiding place that are coming onto this earth. And we've seen the signs, but we haven't paid attention. We were awed at the signs, and we said, oh, look at the signs of Revelation 12. Look at all these things. And then we seem to get right back into a conformity and a comfortableness, and God is saying, you better shake yourself. It's happening fast. You need to start praying and paying attention. You know what I think every prayer meeting and every church ought to be around the world? Pray that you're worthy to escape what's coming. Not afraid, but I've been shaken in my consciousness because I've already known these things. So have you. But something is resonating on a much deeper level, if you will, of concern for the body of Christ and concern for my own self as how God wants me to live right now. You see, I have no desire to get sucked into some vortex of a global new world order. No, thank you. And I have to ask myself, how connected am I already? Through bank accounts, through Facebook, through radio, through internet, through all of my dealings, identity out there, social security cards, licenses. Body, my phone number comes up, they know exactly who I am, where I live. Should we be concerned, or should we maintain the mantra of, we need to use this stuff so we could further advance the kingdom? I'm asking the question. We've got 15 minutes left on the broadcast. I'd love to hear from you. Call us 818-369-0326. Anywhere in the world, 818-369-0326. Unfortunately, we don't have a number that people from Africa yet, I think, can call in. I don't know. Daniel calls in from Australia all the time, so maybe they do. If you're calling from anywhere in the world, we know you're out there. You're making contact with us on our Facebook page on Omega Radio. Want to hear from you today. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. Let's talk about it. Is this a concern? Am I having too many cupcakes, ding-dongs, and pizza? I didn't have any last night, but I am concerned. Let's take our first call here this morning. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing today, sir?
I am well, sir. How are you today?
I am blessed. You know, I can't help but think of another great snare, and you've kind of, in a way, dancing around what I had in mind on here, and it's called the spirit of self, where everyone has changed their perspective and is trying to go ahead and achieve wealth, cars, homes. In and of itself, that's not a real issue, but when you neglect everything else and have that as your only desire, you overlook a lot of the things that are spoken in the scriptures where we are to help our brothers and sisters, and we don't care about that because we want to get everything for ourselves. We want to satisfy every desire that we have, all the different desires of the flesh. And that can lead us to many, many areas, sex, drugs, pornography, and all these things, when we lose sight of what we are supposed to go ahead and do here on this earth. So I think that is one of the greatest snares that is out there today, and many, many people are falling under its spell.
Very good. That's an excellent thought about how selfishness, you know, is obviously in the heart of those that are controlling things. And yes, we are God, and I am God, and therefore I protect myself, whereas the cross is the antithesis of I am God. The cross is a surrendering of myself, that I am nothing. I am a sinner, and I need to be saved by the grace of God so that I can become a saint. And yes, it is part of the construct. And another thing that people need to understand is that for a long time we have heard the coming destruction of nuclear weapons. I've been a part of that in the sense of not I advocate it, but I know it's coming because God revealed it. And there are many others that have talked about the coming World War III, the coming destruction. But we need to understand something, that through selfishness and through this agenda that is in the world today, this satanic self-centered thing that's going on in those that have been taken over by it, that leading us to the finality. World War III is not the end. It's only the beginning of the end. I mean, read your Bible. That's just kind of part of the whole thing. Nuclear destruction, you know, that's part of the whole thing. Famines and sorrows and economic imbalances and all the demonic stuff that's happening and is going to happen in even a deeper way, as the earth is cleansed, these fanatics, these self-serving satanic worshipers, they want to get rid of a lot of useless eaters on the planet. They want to get rid of people that are not part of their agenda moving in their direction. And the group that they're animus towards, or should I say they hate the most, not an animus, they hate the most are Christians, because Christians are a total, complete antithesis to what they want. They want to control the world. They only want people that will do what they tell them to do and that will willingly go along with their program. And if they're not willing to go on with the program, you know, that's a problem. We're going to have to deal with that. But those that are actually against the program, like Christians should be around the world, and because of the silence among Christians in our generation, the enemy is taking leaps and bounds. When good men do nothing, evil abounds. And so we are in for it, and our generation is going to be held responsible for it. And so the number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'd love to hear from you. Pastor Ken, back to you.
Yeah, you know, Pastor, what you're saying is so true. And as an additional component to what I said on here, I'm also thinking on here of the two great commandments. The second one is, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. We've gotten away from that. We really have. Basically what that tells me is put my brother, my sister, the other people that are out there, put them first. Try and help them. And as an example, after I became a Christian, I was doing a lot of consulting work. And I had a bid for jobs, and there was a lot of other people doing it. And I would pray. I said, Lord, if you want me to have this job, great, I will take it. But if there's somebody better, some of these other people that are there that need it more than I need it, put them in. Put them in there, take them in, do that. And that worked out very beautifully, because some of the jobs I lost, but I got even better ones right behind it. So God supplied all of my needs. That's the key component. He supplied them because I was willing to give up what I wanted at that time, because it wasn't really the best thing for me. So when we put God first, he always comes through.
Well, amen, because we live by his principles. All right, so Pastor Ken Wagner has brought the understanding that he believes that the snare that Jesus was talking about in the last days will come on the whole earth and people will not escape is the snare of selfishness. I came with the understanding that the snare is the World Wide Web. You know, what kind of a snare to cover the whole earth? But what about you? What are your thoughts about this? What do you think Jesus was talking about? Don't you think that God would want you to have some kind of an understanding what that snare would be so that you could be watchful, you could be prayerful, you could be very careful and cautious about what you get yourself involved with or involved in? I want to hear from you too. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And again, press 1 on your dial pad. Jesus said that the world would be brought into a snare, that they would not be able to escape. The question is, have you considered what that snare might be? Okay, something's growing all around us. It's everywhere. It's in our homes, it's in our cars, it's on our phones, it's on television, a computer. There's something happening. Artificial intelligence, one world government. I mean, you name it, it's out there. We've talked about it. But there's something happening rapidly right now. There's some acceleration. And I need to hear from you. I need to know what God has told you that snare might possibly be. The number to call, we're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. And if you don't know what it is or don't even have a thought of what it might be, I need to ask you a question. Why not? Are you paying attention? Are you listening, or are you being distracted, or does it not matter? Maybe you think, well, if Jesus wanted me to know, he would have told me what the snare was. But again, Jesus thought, be careful. I guess what we'd have to do is look out and say, well, what could this snare be? What would the Lord be talking about? And that would be a good conversation. And we could read our Bibles and certainly come to some conclusions, I would think. I mean, obviously, a snare you can't buy or sell in Revelation chapter 13 about the mark of the beast, the mark of his name, the number of his name. I mean, there's something here about numbers. There's something here about marks. There's something here about buying and selling and systems. I mean, we've got to understand, we've got to think, you know, what is it that I need to be cautious about right now? How then shall we live? How then shall we live at a time when we're watching prophetic things come to pass and we're hearing come out of her, my people? What is it that we should be concerned about? Or am I just being over dramatic this morning, overly concerned for nothing, and that I should just kind of tone down, you know, relax. We're not there yet. It's okay. I'm waiting to hear from you. 818-369-0326 is the call. Hey, I want to also ask you a question. A few weeks ago, I had let you know that we were putting to the test that people were out there. They could sow into this ministry and be a part of this this global outreach on the Omega Radio Network. And I just want to continue to reach out to you to let you know that we can certainly use your financial blessing. If this ministry is a blessing to you, if this ministry is something that you feel is important, that needs to continue on, there have been a few people that have actually done something about it. They have sown into the work, and I'm thankful to God for that. And in 3 minutes here, when Patricia joins me on the air, I'm going to be getting dressed and on my way to KERM Radio. We're going to be spending another hour on the radio talking about we're actually going to be interviewing Jenny. Jenny Sori is the one that is bringing a understanding to the sex trafficking that is going on in our country, around the world, and right here in Northwest Arkansas. And so that is going to need a lot of prayer. I'm sure the enemy is not going to be real happy about that conversation going out over the airwaves, bringing exposure to sex trafficking in our own backyard and the pedophilia rings that do exist and the prostitution that does exist. And again, most people not paying attention, not seeing it because it's a hidden work. She's going to talk all about that. That's going to be in 1 hour and 2 minutes on KERM Radio. And if you're not living in the local area, you can just go to KERM.net. That's KURM and Michael, KURM.net. And that will get you to KERM Radio, and then you just press to listen live, and we will be broadcasting around the world on that radio station as well. So I want to continue to encourage you. Let us know how we're doing. Are we on the right track? But I need to hear from you guys. When we have these conversations, I need to know what you're thinking. I mean, Pastor Ken and I, both of us, we could talk forever. That's what we do. But we really do want to enjoy your thoughts, your ideas. And maybe you have something to say where we could say, well, okay, praise God. Let's relax a little bit. We're not getting into fear. We're talking here about Jesus saying, be cautious. Watch out. Pray. There's something coming. The whole world is going to get hit by it. They're not going to be able to escape. It sounds pretty important to me. And what's going on in our world right now should be important to you too. Pastor Ken, I'm going to give you the last word before we go, sir.
Yes, Pastor. The thing is, there's a lot of people who justify a lot of things that they do. And I say everybody else is doing it. But the thing that I have to go by is what the Word of God says. That's the only real truth that we really have. And that gives us the guidance, what we can and what we should do, and not fall into these traps and these snares that are out there in the world today.
Well, amen. That's a great way to close the program today. I'm going to go to a quick break. When I come back, Patricia Joy Xavier, the Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, is going to continue the conversation for the next 30 minutes. I trust that you're all going to have a great Wednesday. Get to Bible study tonight, because that's where we're going to be, over at the Ark in Northwest Arkansas. So we'll look forward to seeing you when you get there or wherever you're going to Bible study tonight. Make sure it's a good one, and we'll talk to you real soon. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Well, 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 what an interesting program. I am Patricia Xavier of New Wine Ministry, and I'm reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And what was said, what was said earlier, there is something that we need to accomplish and we need to do. And I think one of the most important things we can do with what you heard about that which is working its way to entangle us at World Wide Web, to put us in a position of total control, there's something you and I have to understand. We need to be totally and completely delivered for times such as this, just like it was during the time when all was terribly coming down for Israel and they weren't able to fight their battles. But God has called us to be able to fight our battles. So what do we do? What are we to do with this snare that has come upon the earth? We are to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers in which we've been talking about. Pastor Vincent has been bringing forth to you against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil realm, demonic presence. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and folks, it has come, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you must learn to stand firm then with the belt truth buckled around your waist, the belt of truth, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. Readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In other words, you must be willing and able to stand in peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. When somebody has already conquered for you, you already are in position to be more than a conqueror. And who's it through? Jesus Christ, who loved us. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory has already been won through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So we have Scripture back us up into a wonderful position of knowing who we are in Christ Jesus and going to war against the evil one and be prepared and ready for the snare that has come upon all that dwell on the face of the whole earth, not just United States of America, but the whole earth. Now, yesterday we talked about deliverance, that which we are preparing to deliver an individual, if we have been putting on our own armor and cleansed and ready for the war and put in position as the army of God. If that is you, let's get ready for the manifestation of devils, which you're going to see a lot of. In fact, I just read an article that the Catholic Church is seeing more and more demonic presence with congregations for their church. And this is what the enemy is doing. He's bringing many to this evil. So we know that there is a warfare that is coming forth, and we need to be able to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, saying, I did all I could to help myself by the Holy Spirit you have endowed in me, and to help others who are in bondage. Actually, I can't help myself. Only my Lord Jesus Christ was the one to give me the help necessary. But I do have to make a decision as to which way I'm going to go. I'm either going to serve self or I'm going to serve God. There shall be no in between. So let's go into that realm of the manifestations of demons as we become the deliverers, Zion, to set many captives free, which have been asked of us from the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked the face of this earth. Some of the things we have mentioned when you are in process of delivering someone who is in bondage and has many strongholds, one of the things that you may experience is odors coming from that individual. Those odors are manifestation of devils. The next thing we talked about was devils may cry out with a loud voice and sometimes with a piercing demonic scream or spirit of torment. We are not to be frightened or afraid of this because Satan is already overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He is not your threat. Remember that. It is only the appearance thereof. The next thing is a spirit of pride may manifest itself in several ways and cause the person standing erect, fold his arm across his chest. It may cause him to tilt his head back with his nose high in the air as a haughty gesture. Talking too much and bragging about oneself is another potential manifestation of the spirit of pride. You'll see that quite a bit in the body of Christ, sadly enough. And the person finds it difficult to let others speak and will keep interrupting them because they want to talk about who they are themselves. That is another manifestation to look for. They feel that what they have to say is much more important than what others may have to say. Spirit of pride is ugly. And also the spirit of self-importance will be linked with the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride or self-importance will make a person think more highly of himself than he ought to think. So therefore, what you will see in manifestation is the way the person is sitting or standing or erecting or folding his arms across his chest, tilting his head back with his nose high in the air with a haughty gesture. He's not aware he's doing this, but you are as the deliverer, the person who is going to bring this individual out from bondage into light. Now, another thing to look for in the manifestation of demonic pain in the back or the neck. During the deliverance, the minister should lay hands on the area of pain and command the devil to relinquish their hold in the name of Jesus. You may watch the individual begin to start rubbing the back of their neck or try and pull it to one side to another. All of a sudden, so much tension is coming in that area. It is the work of the enemy. And so what you do is you minister by laying hands on that area of pain and command the devil to relinquish their hold in the name of Jesus. Now, there are other manifestations to look for and other manifestations that may be witnessed during deliverance. Ministries include cramps in the legs and in the arms. Look for that. Nausea, crying, and sometimes laughing. Laughter is often a mocking spirit trying to make light of the ministry. A novice might think that the person being ministered to is lacking in seriousness, but the laughter is entirely separate from the person's own feelings. So don't get angry with the person. You don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spirits and demons, as was already said in Ephesians, in high places, and you are after those spirits that have kept them in bondage for all their life long. You know, devils speak through their victims, so that's why I don't want you to be concerned. They are not going to bring any kind of stress upon yourself if you realize that they're already overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ and you have nothing to worry about but do your work. And quite often the novice thinks it is the person speaking, but you will soon learn that it is a devil. So devils speak through their victim. And at times there is a voice change from a lower to a higher pitch or vice versa. The minister should not encourage, or you as a minister should not encourage the devils to speak unless there is a specific devil he wants named in order to secure deliverance. If you are seeing that there is a difficulty, you're having a hard time bringing forth any demonic presence, the minister, if you're the minister, should encourage the devil to speak so that you know what that name is. And you can secure that deliverance. Conversing with devils should not be done unless the Holy Spirit gives you specific instructions to do so. Now, they did with Jesus. The Holy Spirit did with Jesus when he asked the one person who was 1,000 demons in bondage to, totally possessed. He said, "What is your name?" And there are times to do that. And when they speak, if the demons do speak, they may contend that the person wants them there, or they may threaten to come back if they are cast out. They will say things in this manner: "She asked me in. She likes me here. She wants me here." Or they may say, "He loves me here. He loves getting angry. He loves being proud. He wants me right where I am. I am not coming out. I am not coming out. Command it to come out." You recognize that it is a spirit of pride, maybe also with the lesser spirit of anger and many others that you can denote by the actions of the individual, how they are being brought forth under this deliverance by the things that they are allowing the demons to say through them. But they're not altogether alert to it. But it is an allowance because they already had them within them for some period of time. And at times, they plead not to be cast out. Demons will say, "I'm going to go, please, leave me alone. Let me stay right where I am." They did that with Jesus, and he cast out into the pigs, the unclean spirits of the pigs, where they could be together. The uncleanness was so emphatic, they ran into a deep river and they drowned. And that is what happens when evil meets with evil. Now, when devils are cast out, they sometimes leave through the mouth or the nose. So be watchful about that. And the most common manifestation of this, as said before, in chapters behind, they will begin to cough. They will continue to cough. And they are literally coughing out demons. And so if you have witnessed that that individual that you are bringing through deliverance was not coughing before you began the deliverance upon them, then you know that this is what is going on, that demons are being coughed up. And devils seem to know that the eyes of a person reveal their presence. They know. They're very alert as to their comfort, where they are. They do not want to come out. They know what's going on, and the victims will most often keep their eyes closed or look away from the minister who is looking at them. And this happens often. You're looking straight in the eyes of the one going through the deliverance, and they don't want to look in your eyes. The demons don't want to be revealed, so they make sure that their victim is being distracted in another direction so that you can't make eye contact. It's important to do so if you can. If you cannot, you can still work with these spirits. And I have also seen during a deliverance the victim's eyes take on the look and glare of a serpent. If that demon is bold enough to look straight through the victim's eyes into yours, you know that it is the glare of a serpent. You can see it. And, you know, many movies in Hollywood have directed their films this way. And the person you can see when you're watching the movie is the person that has these demons are glaring, and you can tell that the eyes have that serpent appearance to it and shaped in the same manner as a serpent. And this is a reality. This does happen. You wonder how Hollywood knows. Where did they get their ideas? Because they're correct with that. And devils will usually respond to of what they are causing. For instance, you devil that is causing this person to have bad dreams at night, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Now, this tactic is the most simple one when the minister is not aware of the demon's name, and it will then come out. However, the individual has been having and told you about the bad dreams. You can just use the circumstances if you're not sure who the devil is. And again, you may say things to the effect of, you devil that is causing this person to have bad dreams at night because that's what the victim told you. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. And this tactic is the most simple one when the minister is not aware of the demon's name. And it will then come out. There is value in naming the devils, however, in that person being delivered because we're aware of what indwelling devils were cast out in case they try to re-enter. So if you can get the name of the devil, that is a very, very helpful situation because the person being delivered, you don't want that same spirit coming back in, and you know what it is. You can work quickly against it. And be aware of what indwelling devils are if it is possible for you to do so. You know, even the Holy Spirit works in different directions, different ways. But what I am telling you is how my experience is. Yours may be somewhat different, but not too different because I've been through many deliverances and I've seen others do so. And it appears to be working in the same direction. A deliverance is the awareness of that deliverance oftentimes is the same from other ministers who are delivering the people that have been captive by Satan. But I tell you this, you listen to the Holy Spirit more than anything, please. The Holy Spirit will be teaching you even in that moment what to say and what to do. It's important that you settle your heart in that manner. Yes, read my book. Yes, be encouraged by what I had done. Perhaps it will help you. I have reasons why I did what I have done. I have also information that has been information granted to me through many deliverances that I can pass on to you. I see when I have my classes and others go through deliverances, it works in the same manner. Always listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, devils prefer to seek and indwell another human after they have been cast out. You have to be aware of this. If they cannot find a being, if they cannot find a being to dwell in, they will try to enter an animal. Cover your animals when it comes to bringing someone through a deliverance in your home or their home. If there's animals around and about, cover them too with the blood of Jesus. You have seen dogs, I'm sure, and cats in your past that have acted strangely and you felt there was something very evil there. Well, in cases there are. It appears that the devils need anything warm blooded. And now in the scriptures, I have read that Jesus or the apostles cast out devils into the dry, dry land. And the reason I'm saying this is because in scriptures I've read that Jesus does not, or the apostles, they did not cast out devils into a pit or into hell. Not once did I ever read that. If you have read that, maybe your translation in your Bible is not King James, or another kind of translation. If you read that devils do are cast out into the pit of hell, please let me know. I have not seen it anywhere in Scripture. But what I have seen is the Scriptures convey that the devils were commanded to go to dry places until the appointed time of their execution. I've read in Scripture. And so we have to be very careful that we do not pick up somebody else's ideas and concepts, their theories of how things are done from what they've learned from another, but that it has been taught by the Word of God how to bring a deliverance forth. And I have to also tell you, Body of Christ, be very careful of imitation. That's why I wrote my book. I want you to understand exactly what happens during my experiences with deliverance, how I proved that a Christian could have a demon. It's in my book. And if you're interested in at all to see the different ways and methods that I have found in Scripture and brought forth, then get my book. You can pick it up on Amazon, Deliverance, Christian Bill of Rights. It will help you. It will give you understanding. It will give you arguments that will be very towards someone that is not believing that a Christian could have a demon. A Christian can have a demon. Vexation is what possession really means. Now, there's two kinds of possession. One, vexation, being vexed by a demon, and the other is total and complete possession. If a person is totally and completely possessed, of course, that person is not a Christian. But a person who is, an individual who is a Christian, could be vexed by a demon, and I explain how that happens and where in my book if you have not been following me. Now, here are a number of things to note when you begin to minister deliverance. Number one, it is extremely time-consuming, so you must be willing to do this. In Mark 7:24, it says, into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. If you take this ministry of deliverance seriously, this scripture will soon become a reality for you. You will be in a position of being sought after. You would want to go somewhere with no one knowing where you are for periods of time. But like it said in Mark 7:24, Jesus tried to enter into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. You're sought after. You're needed. You're wanted. It is one of the most incredible works that the Lord Jesus Christ did when he walked the face of the earth. And how do I know it was one of the most incredible works? Because he himself said, I came to set the captives free. Desire to set them free from every demonic stronghold. It is his desire to see you walking victoriously, not being conquered by evil spirits. It is his desire, the Lord Jesus Christ, to raise you up, overcoming all demonic presence within this world and not be overpowered by it, them, darkness, Luciferians, demonic spirits, and Satan himself. It is God's love for us to walk free of every bondage and to open up the realms of the Holy Spirit within our life so others may be set free. And along and most with all of this is to have eternal life in this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, being free being absolutely free of everything the world has put us in bondage to. You don't know what that is until you experience it. Heaven is that taste of it. But he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It is now coming on earth as it is in heaven. But just as it is evil as can be, it also is going to be as incredible as can be when the Spirit of the Holy One begins to lift us up where we belong. Oh, body of Christ, know that he has come for us for the last 2,000 years. But now is the time where all things are working together to be totally and completely free, delivered, victorious. No more being in a dark place where we cannot see clearly what the truth is for our lives, but being in a place where it's bright and shining and we are victorious in every area. There's nothing like it, and he called us to it. God bless you. I will talk with you tomorrow. We will go on with the manifestation of devils.